Hey, welcome to Radio Mojo, the podcast. I'm Jill McGarry. Really happy to be with you this morning because we're at Izakaya 855 Aloha at Romer House in Waikiki, brand newly opened, beautiful boutique hotel. And this fabulous restaurant, Izakaya 855 Aloha, where a new take on the Izakaya style of dining has been perfected. We're going to talk this morning to the chef partner, Sho Kamio, and the executive chef, Daniel No, who really have put their heart and soul into this restaurant. They're both extremely highly regarded chefs in their own right. And it's really fun to hear them today talking about what it is about this new restaurant in Waikiki that has them both so excited. The menu is really diverse. I mean, you can have anything from hajime snacks that are really small tastes, like poke sampler, for example, miso kyu, sashimi. There's some beautiful raw fish dishes. There's a taco mentai poke. There's a gorgeous kompoche ceviche. The list of fresh fish goes on and on. There's salads, there's vegetable courses. Everything, of course, in the Izakaya style, meant to be shared in small plates. There is an amazing selection of Wagyu beef. You can even build your own hand roll right there at table from a very, very luxe caviar hand roll to the beautifully fresh and much more simple kompoche, or even build your own shrimp tempura. So a lot of interactive dining, a lot of beautiful fresh ingredients, and the influence of these two chefs, Chef Sho and Chef Daniel, who have brought their background in some of the dishes. Chef Daniel is of Korean heritage, born in Argentina, lived in New York, trained at the CIA. Chef Sho is from Japan, and together they have really created something great. I'm going to stop talking because I think you're going to absolutely love this. Listen up to their stories and then go check out the restaurant. Easiest way, of course, is izakaya855aloha.com. You can see the menu, you can find out the opening hours, and enjoy. So here we are. Welcome. It's lovely to have you guys join me at Izakaya 855 Aloha. I'm with the chefs, the culinary directors, the creative minds behind the restaurant. And you heard a bit about them in the introduction, but I'm so happy to have them sitting here now talking with us. Chef Sho Kamio and Chef Daniel No. Hello, welcome.
Aloha, aloha, welcome too.
Hello, aloha, how are you?
It's so lovely to see you. It's a very exciting time for you because the restaurant opening is upon us. The restaurant, of course, I mean the hotel opening, the restaurant's been open for a little bit. This is nothing new to you, mm-hmm. Sho. You have been opening restaurants. You've been extremely busy over the past year or
so. Thank you so much, I appreciate that.
How is it opening a restaurant in New York, a hotel in New York versus Honolulu?
Well, okay, this is a great question, Joe. That's a lot of human work, right? Yeah, it means restaurants, people, you know, people coming, people making, people service, and the people laughing, drinking, whatever kind of stuff. This is a really beautiful, beauty spot for me, many years. So I'm not thinking about too much different state, different country, different city. When I opened, this is restaurant, my mission is great food, great service. This always. So it means if I'm thinking different, I'm going to different city, of course, different country, language different, culture different. But why I'm bringing to you new education on the bread, you know, on the dish, actually. This is my laborator, like a message to the people. That's why I'm not too much concerned about, you know, any different area going to open. Most important, I want to meet the people, the, you know, city's people, who's working, who's there, kind of stuff.
And who appreciates good food?
Exactly. So that one's more I'm focused. Of course, you know, other stuff, you know, ingredients, each city, each state, amazing, beautiful, original product right there. Definitely, I'm respect. I'm trying to use as much I could. So again, when I go open, I always thinking people smile, imagination. Oh, when I open door, people coming, excited, then I say like this one. I always say 3S. 3S means simple, seasonal, surprise. So this is my culinary philosophy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, seasonal, which is, I'm Japanese. So Japan has, you know, four different seasons, right? So it means I'm trying to best bring to four different seasonal ingredients and the execution. And the simple is material. I respect the material. So it means when you see the material's color, bite, flavor, wow, kind of. So it means if material is great, I don't need too much makeup. You know,
understood.
Right. So number three, simple. Surprise means surprise final words. When I eat, wow, blow away. First, I'm surprised. Then, meantime, I'm thinking how to make it beauty kind of stuff. So developing the new menu and then putting it to customer. Customer see first, wow. And the bite, wow, surprise. So always I'm thinking 3S, seasonal, simple, surprise.
It's going to be a lot of surprises, I think, when people come to the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Daniel, as Chef was just saying, seasonal is important. The Hawaii influence is also important. The Hawaii sensibility here at Izakaya 855. Can you speak a little to the menu? So for people who are going to be coming in and eating, they have an expectation of an izakaya, right? They're going to be thinking, okay, we have this kind of food. Where are some of the differences going to be in terms of how is the Hawaii influence on the menu?
So first thing first, we are trying to renovate the izakaya concept, but using traditional techniques and traditional flavors, right? And the interesting thing is that in Hawaii, there's amazing local produces, such as Maui onions, which is so sweet compared to regular onions. So when you create dishes with these local ingredients that have their unique flavors and tastes, you kind of like upgrade, or more than upgrading, you kind of like endorse the Hawaiian local flavors, right? So what we're trying to do is try to marry those concepts using Japanese flavors and techniques, but with the lovely addition of the local ingredients. Again, Maui, I just mentioned Maui because it's one of my favorites. But on the other hand, living in Hawaii, surrounded by water, obviously we have all the local seafood, right? And that's the best thing. And that's one of the concepts of Japanese cuisine, where you want to showcase ingredient itself. So having right out of the mold water, being so fresh, there's not much to do. You just need to put love, creativity, and just make sure you create a dish where izakaya concept, where everybody can share and have a great time during dinner, right?
Chef was alluding to also the simplicity of having just perfect seasonal ingredients, right, which we're really lucky to have here in Hawaii, especially, you know, our fish. What is it that when you see that the produce coming in, the ingredients coming in, sometimes it can be just overwhelming, right? Especially if you're working with the local small farmers, they grow specifically for chefs. What are some of the things that you've been really, truly inspired by in creating this menu?
So one of the things is, like, for example, our ahi, the tuna, is sometimes when it comes in, it's just shiny and so bright red.
Fresh.
So fresh, right? So it's just talking to you at this point. Hey, I'm so fresh. Do whatever you want. And it's just going to be great. Not only ahi, but even mahi. Because I'm coming from New York, and whenever you get a mahi, it's never that fresh, right? So you don't get that shininess on the skin, or even the bloodline there. It's already gray and it's not really, it smells, you know.
There's like, never a smell with Hawaii fish.
No. Over here, I obviously talk to my purveyors that I want everything fresh. So there normally is either fish that they caught in the morning or just the day before. So when we receive, you open it and it just opens your eyes already.
Chef Sho, I'm always interested in the stories behind the chefs. How do you become who you are? Fish, fresh fish, and vegetables were very much a part of your childhood growing up in Japan. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little of what your childhood looked like in reference to food? Mm-hmm. Like who cooked in your house?
Yeah, long time ago, right?
Not that
let me try to remember. Okay, yes, my dad has a own business, and then employee there. And then basically my mom cooking, actually, for the staff meal and the family meal kind of stuff. So unfortunately, my mom has a car accident. I was 9 years old. So 3 years in a coma. Then meantime, somebody have to take care of, you know, midwives every day. So means meantime, my older sister and I went to the, you know, grocery store. That time I feels like a grocery store is for me like a Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
So means I spent the time a lot. I really excited, lots of ingredients, lots of stuff there. Wow, wow, wow. I don't know why.
Just as a small boy, exactly. You were excited by ingredients. Excited.
And then standing at the kitchen, grab knife, you know, cooking something. And then I was 3 years old. I told mom, I'm getting interested in the cooking. I want to become a chef. And then my mom said, hey, go to office. Open the door. You can see the something. I went to dad's office. And then I saw that. His picture is a chef.
Your father.
My father. Never cook in front of us. He dropped off chef's life. He was 31 years old.
Ooh,
he totally changed his life.
And he'd never shared with you
never,
he was a chef.
Never.
So do you feel that it was genetically somehow in you?
I think 90% yes.
Oh, that's so fascinating.
That's why I was surprised myself. And then I'm more into the getting, you know, lovely cooking daily basis. And then I want to go to try to culinary school. And then I started a newspaper boy in 6 years, saving money. In the meantime, I was a dishwasher at my dad's friend restaurant. And then I went to culinary school 1 day, you know, on school. Means, you know, the introduction kind of culinary school. And then chef showing the demonstration like a French cooking omelette. Then I cooked. Then chef came to here again. Did you make it here? Yes. One more time, make it. That made it. Can I make 2 omelettes same time? Yes, I did. After that tour, chef said, why are you here?
Oh, you already know.
How do you get this skill?
Mm-hmm.
Then I was explaining to you. Then he said, back to the kitchen. Don't come here. He's supposed to bring it to student,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes. That's so interesting, though, because it's like the belief that, you know, great artists are born. Like, you didn't know mm-hmm. that there was that culinary mm-hmm. heritage and mm-hmm. lineage,
right.
But it knew. You right. had it. It was with you. Daniel, what about you? Did you grow up in a family where people were great cooks and really interested in food?
So here's the deal. My house, too, my mom used to be the one who always cooked. And, you know, we are Koreans. My mom and dad are Korean, but we never used to go out to eat Korean food because my mom, she was just the best. And that's where I kind of like learned a lot of the love for the cooking because I used to spend a lot of time with my mom going to the groceries. As Chef Cho was saying, for me also, the grocery was like a playground for me where you can go, you know, you smell the ingredients, you touch the ingredients, you look at the ingredients. And there's so many ingredients that there's not enough time to learn all of it. But, and also on the other hand, my dad is a big eater too.
Uh-huh. That helps, right?
Yeah. So that being said, in my house, there's always a lot of abundance of food, but deliciousness at the same time.
So from early on, did you decide to, yes, this excites me, I want to make this a career, because you went to the CIA.
Yes, I did go to the CIA, but I didn't realize I wanted to be a chef till I started working in a restaurant, actually. So when I first moved into America, I was wondering what to do. I was born and raised in Argentina, and then I graduated high school, and then I moved to America, and I was deciding if I should study for college or not. But in the meantime, my mom was like, okay, at least go get a job. And my first job was working in a restaurant, and that's when I really fell in love the dynamic of a restaurant, right?
So here we have Japanese influence, we have Korean, we have Argentinian, you grew up in New York, you spent a lot of time in New York. All of that has landed right here at this izakaya in Waikiki. How does that look? Tell me, I'm coming in for the first time. Imagine you have to describe to me the menu. What are you going to feature and what are you going to recommend that we start with when we come in for this really adventure in food?
So izakaya is a concept where you share varieties of plates, right? So I don't really have, oh, you have to get this or you have to get that. For me, it's just get as much as you can and just share the moment with your friends. Our restaurant, again, we do represent a lot of traditional and Japanese bold flavors, but also we do have that touch of our backgrounds, right? Me from Argentina, being Korea, we do add that flavors in there and mixed in.
That's what right? I want you to tell me more about. So is there a dish that you could bring out and say, this speaks to my Korean mother's cooking?
So one of the dishes that we have is our ninjin, which is our grilled carrots. But in the sauce, we do a mix of Japanese and Korean, meaning that we do use sesame paste, but also we use Korean red chili paste. So that kind of like when you eat it, kind of like reminds me of my childhood, because my mom used to have a dish where you're mixing those two ingredients as well.
Okay.
So with collaboration with Chef Sho, having his Japanese background, but adding that little touch of Korean flavors, also kind of like, wow, this is where I really want to be.
Explosion of flavors. That's where your wow comes from. Yep. Yes. How about for you? Of course, you know, you're opening restaurants all over at the moment. You're very busy. Does the business side of opening restaurants within these very, very cutting edge modern hotels, does it take away slightly from what is obviously your first passion? Or do you still always have time to be in the kitchen and fulfill that lineage that you're carrying?
Good question too, actually. I'm both, actually. So used to be I'm a chef, all day, all night in the kitchen. Yes, I love to cooking. Still, I'm cooking on my home too, actually. Every day. So it means, but in the meantime, I took over the owner and the partnership means taking business-wise. So it means, you know, cuisine and the business, sure, which means this is restaurant business, right?
Yes.
So we have to make a business profit, control cost.
Not easy,
especially right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So and also meantime, we have to keep chef showing to technique, teaching, to educate to the new people. So that one's both briefcase, means one briefcase business, other hand is knife. So it means chef need balance, actually. And also human beings.
Yes.
Like, you know, I'm happy, very happy to working with, you know, Chef Daniel, young star. So it means he has lots of energy and lots of potential. But he's very good listener. And then immediately his action, the creative, like something like that. So that one's actually, I used to be like that. He's age-wise, but young kids, pushing to me, I'm keep continuing, you know.
Keep going into the kitchen.
Keep going into the kitchen and then run kind of stuff. That's why I'm not retired. I decide myself.
You know what I can see between the two of you is, you know, that there is a joy of, you both spoke earlier about the ingredients, how they inspire you. And I think they really do. I think you can see that, especially when you're talking about ingredients in the fish, you're just all lit up. It must be so fun for you to be here in Waikiki at the heart of where people are hopefully coming to recognize really excellent food, to be able to just go back in that kitchen and go, I'm using amazing ingredients.
Well, Joe, actually the ingredients, yes, that's not only materials. You know, ingredients, please don't forget. Chef is ingredients, number one.
Yes, his enthusiasm, exactly. His passion.
Right?
Yes.
This is number one. So here's the going now.
So, I mean, that's, I believe most of the chefs or myself personally, that's what we want to do. We want to educate, well, not educate, but show all these ingredients to our customers, right? That's our first goal. So how can we make these ingredients wow to them, right? And that's where our creativity and all our excitement shows, because one of the main reasons why I started cooking was to see a smile on a person. When you have a bite, you're smiling. That's my main goal. Like, you look at the dish and just by the beautiness, you're already smiling. And when you eat it, it's double joy in it, right? So I think that's what drives me to be in the kitchen. And that's what drives me or excites me about all these local and fresh ingredients. And I want to share the moment or the experience with my people, with my customers, with everybody who is coming in. And another amazing thing is that's the thing about izakaya, because you want them happy.
Yeah.
Right? You want them to have a good time. So, yeah.
And what we've done is, like, you'll have noticed occasionally in the background there have been some phones ringing. That's because the whole entire hotel, Rumor House, is based on the theme throughout it is that old, very highly loved and recognizable telephone boxes that Hawaii had. And for people who are going to come to the hotel for the first time, you're going to have a lot of fun just looking around this hotel and seeing how cleverly the design has been incorporated everywhere, especially in the menu, which has a lovely kind of 1960s, like really retro sort of look about
right,
it.
Yeah,
so
yep.
Yeah, Izakaya 855 Aloha at the Romer House Hotel is now open. I'm going to encourage all of you to come. We always have details about how to get there, how to book, what to eat that will accompany the podcast. So don't worry if you missed anything in the conversation, you can read about it in the notes. It's been so lovely to talk to both of you. It's such a pleasure to be here and see you right at the beginning at the opening. I know you're going to be only more excited as the time goes on and you see how people appreciate the restaurant, but good luck with the opening. And it was lovely to meet you. Thank you. I know that you're not here very often, but nice
very
to
nice
see
to
you.
Meet you, Joe.
Thank you very much, Joe.
I'm waiting for you coming here, okay?
Absolutely.
Yes,
you don't have to wait very long, I'll tell you that.
Join us for dinner. Join us for dinner, please.
Thank you so much. You've been listening, of course, to Radio Mojo, the podcast. I'm Joe McGarry. We'll see you next time. Hey, thank you for listening to Radio Mojo, the podcast. I really hope that you enjoyed today's interviews. If you want to know more about Mojo and the work that we do with restaurants and other businesses, then please go to our website, mojomcgarry.com. You can contact us from there. We so look forward to hearing from you, and I look forward to seeing you on the next Radio Mojo, the podcast.